Welcome, podcast listeners, to another mini episode of Much Ado About Wrestling. We've reached the Sweet 16 of our title unification bracket of madness. You can start voting now for who you want to see make the Elite Eight. You have from now until April 7th to get those votes in. So go to muchadowrestling.com. It's the one of the first posts on the page. It's not hard to miss. There's a giant bracket. Go vote for the eight remaining matchups with the Sweet 16. And don't forget at the very bottom of the page to fill out the questionnaire that asks just for your name and email to be entered into our raffle for a $50 Pro Wrestling Tees gift card. So without further ado, actually one more thing. Also keep your eyes on this feed, keep your ears on this feed, because there will be our annual WrestleMania preview episode coming out so soon. But until then, let's get into the Sweet 16. WrestleMania week has arrived. On Sunday night, the WWE Universal and WWE Championship titles will merge into one world title when Roman Reigns goes up against Brock Lesnar in their third and final WrestleMania main event as competitors. But I think we can all agree what really matters in the mind of pro wrestling fans everywhere is who will have the distinction of being named the one true WWE World Champion in our bracket of madness. We've arrived at the two Sweet 16, and man, it's just a murderer's row. Half of the 16 are WWE Hall of Famers. The eight who aren't there yet are still active, except for John Cena and The Rock. The only one you can see not going into the Hall is CM Punk, and that's certainly not for lack of contributions to WWE's legacy. After a first round that delivered a decent amount of upsets, our final 16 are more chalky. All the 1 and 2 seeds survived and advanced. Only 1-3 seed is absent, Edge, who lost in the first round. The lower seeds still in it include 3-5 seeds and the only real Cinderella left in the field, 14 seed Eddie Guerrero. There were some quasi-scares to the big dogs up until this point, but now it's going to be extremely hard to see all 1v2s in our Elite Eight. Let's look at these Sweet 16 matchups in the Big Gold Belt region. It was a big week for Triple H. He announced on ESPN that his recent heart issues have ended his in-ring career, and then he almost got upset by Ric Flair in our bracket. In fact, this was the closest round two match, with Flair leading for a considerable portion of it. Perhaps the headlines pushed Trips over the line, but now he's got best friend Shawn Michaels waiting for him, and then either Evolution mate Randy Orton or former foe Bret Hart after that. Triple H vs. HBK as the better world champion comes down to what you value most as a fan. I've joked about Triple H's Ruthless Aggression title run being a reign of terror, one that kept a younger me watching every week hoping that RVD, Jericho, Booker T, somebody would dethrone him. But there is real value in the heel champion, and Triple H played this part to elevate faces even later in his career with Jeff Hardy, Roman Reigns, and Daniel Bryan. Shawn Michaels was one of the few people to win titles off of Triple H more than once, perhaps the most memorable being his comeback win at Survivor Series 2002 in the first ever Elimination Chamber match. This is one of those moments where the hero prevails and makes the past struggles worth it for the fan, but you can argue that the euphoria wouldn't be so high without the struggle and pain that Triple H as champ caused. Without heel Bret Hart, you don't get the boyhood dream has come true for Shawn Michaels. Speaking of Bret, he's also in the Sweet 16 against Randy Orton in a match that I'm suddenly so sad that we never got to see in real life. These are arguably the two most naturally smooth working wrestlers WWE has ever employed. The question here for the voting populace to ponder is, do you value a handful of title reigns that cemented Bret Hart as the face of the new federation for a few years, or do you value that Randy Orton could and has continued to be a viable candidate as world champion longer than any of his contemporaries like Cena, Batista, and Edge, even if none of the reigns were particularly memorable? Moving on to the Winged Eagle region, round two saw only one upset, in this region, but it's hard to call it an upset when the two competitors are so equally matched and were contemporaries. Chris Jericho snuck past Kurt Angle to make the Sweet 16. This was the second closest match of the round. Mainstays of the IC title picture for the end of the Attitude, both had multiple world title reigns in the Ruthless Aggression era and were known for their technical ability and comedy chops. So why did Jericho win? Well, maybe it's because so much of Angle's prime was spent as the champ in TNA, or maybe it's because when talking about title unification, it's hard not to picture Chris Jericho, the first undisputed WWE champion and the man who beat The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin in the same night to do so. But now, Chris has got a whole different kind of problem. He's drawn the most identifiable wrestler of all time, Hulk Hogan. After 2 days of voting, it looked like Mysterio might actually pull an upset over Hulk, but then the Hulkamaniacs came out in full force. With another generation gone by and Hogan's recent cultural contributions being a Gawker lawsuit, being booed at WrestleMania 37 in his hometown, and being shaded by the New Day, maybe it's becoming hard to remember just how big the character was at its height. I don't think Hogan is going to make the Final Four, but could Chris Jericho step up and be the one to take him out now? I'm not so sure. Another battle of contemporaries here in this region, with The Undertaker taking on The Rock. Both are potential WWE Mount Rushmore guys. Both were important to the Attitude Era, the Ruthless Aggression Era, and both had late career stints as world champion. But also, both have arguably been more memorable in wrestling history beyond their title runs. Sure, Rock was one of the people to dethrone Steve Austin in the height of his powers, but we remember The Rock's interviews, his non-title match against Hogan at WrestleMania, and his Hollywood career more than his runs as world champion. It's the same for The Undertaker. For a time, ending the streak was seen as a much bigger rub for a young superstar than winning the world title could ever be. The Undertaker actually held world championships only a few times in four relatively short reigns, considering how long he was employed. But with those reigns, he put over young talent. Jeff Hardy's Raw ladder match comes to mind. Is that enough to get past the man who was big enough to take the baton from Hogan and pass it to Cena, though? Moving on to the big green belt region, we've got chalk here, but it's the most exciting and juicy chalk you could imagine. In one corner, we are going to have a battle between two men who defined their eras and had a legit war of words. And in the other, we had the very real main event of this year's WrestleMania, the whole reason we thought to do this bracket to begin with. During his WWE version of the Summer of Punk, Phil Brooks made some comments about how it was more impressive to hold the WWE title for over 400 days in modern times than it was for Bruno to hold it for thousands of days when they weren't running as many shows. Superstar Billy Graham was heated at these comments, but Bruno, to his credit, had a much calmer response, but still managed to slight CM Punk with this closing statement. Quote, "The only thing is, I think if he were in my era, he would be a little bit too small. We had bigger built guys back then," end quote. So, now we're going to settle this once and for all. Two superstars who were considered the best workers and best lengthy champions of their eras, though those meant two very different things at the time. They're going to finally come to blows by way of internet poll. That leaves us with the two most notable WWE champions in whatever the name of this post-reality era of WWE will eventually be called, Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. They both have been given the biggest storyline and personnel endorsements that WWE has to offer in Paul Heyman as a manager and by both beating The Undertaker at WrestleMania. They are the two most physically imposing and protected stars on the roster today. They are the two biggest names in the company, and they share the same sort of doubters as well, both being throwbacks as characters to 1980s stalwarts, but trapped in a modern-day work-rate climate. I don't know how to guide the voters here. They are two sides of a very similar coin. I suppose I'll ask you all this. Which of these two guys do you think has been used more to elevate the other one? That's where the answer ultimately lies, and it might be clearer after Sunday. Going to our final region, the Spinner Belt region, we saw three clear-cut favorites rise up to the top, and our Cinderella got another upset victory. I thought for a second that JBL might have a chance against Seth Rollins because his one title reign was such a great era of SmackDown, and he worked so perfectly as a villain for the top faces of the time, Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio, but it's hard to beat Seth Rollins in any kind of internet voting anything. So now, Seth is up against John Cena, a man whose kayfabe ability to be the world champion in WWE is only equaled by Hulk Hogan. Cena is so synonymous with being the champion that his special spinner belt became the permanent design of the WWE title, and still sorta is today. Oh yeah, and also whenever he returns, Cena says, "The champ is here." Hard to top that in an internet poll about who is the best champion. Though, I'll make an argument that Seth had the most interesting single title reign of the past 5 years with his architect double champion authority run that showed his physical value as someone who could have real wrestling matches, two matches, on one night of SummerSlam. Perhaps it's not remembered that way, though, because of how unfortunate the eventual Sting match was, but I think Seth's got a shot here. Our final match involves two of the most universally liked wrestlers in history. Our Cinderella, the 14 seed, the always underestimated Eddie Guerrero, might have reached the end of the line. Eddie's win over Brock was the stuff of legend. The world would have been much worse had Eddie not got that title run before his premature passing. But talking about the stuff of legend, that's everything Steve Austin did from 1997 to 2001. He, for my money, reached the highest single moment of popularity for a star in pro wrestling history ever, period. Bottom line, you know, pun intended. The world title, whether the winged eagle or Austin's custom smoking skull belt, looks perfect in my mind's eye being held by Austin with his hands up while standing on the turnbuckle. If you don't believe the hype about Steve Austin, just watch what happens when that glass shatters on Saturday night in Texas. So there you have it. There's our Sweet 16. The matchups one more time. We are going to see number 1 seed Triple H up against number 5 seed Shawn Michaels. Number 3 seed Bret Hart against number 2 seed Randy Orton. Number 1 seed Hulk Hogan against number 5 seed Chris Jericho. Number 3 seed The Undertaker against number 2 seed The Rock. Number 1 seed Bruno Sammartino against number 4 seed CM Punk. Number 3 seed Roman Reigns against number 2 seed Brock Lesnar. Number 1 seed John Cena against number 5 seed Seth Rollins. And finally, number 14 seed Eddie Guerrero taking on number 2 seed Stone Cold Steve Austin. Don't forget to go vote. Go to muchadowrestling.com. Make your voice heard. We will see you all on WrestleMania.